Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to look at the first 7 verses today. And as you're turning, it's time for our kids to be dismissed. Go with Miss Merrim this morning to our children's ministry. All right. So, does everybody realize that we're at war? That our battle is constant. I don't think that our world realizes this. Our world thinks that and culture thinks that it's all good. It's all going to work itself out, and that diplomatically we can take care of everything that we need to take care of. The problem is there's no diplomacy with our Creator. Our Creator has told us what life is to be for us and how it is to be lived and who we're supposed to turn to, trust in, and follow. And He's given us directions. Now, if anyone served here militarily, who served here militarily? When your senior gives you an order, you're to what? Do it. You're to follow orders. And now look, back, I will admit this. Now look, I know that there's always been some portion of this, but it's definitely in the last century, at the beginning of the last century, it was easier to define that which was right and that which was wrong, and that morally, ethically, we knew directionally what we were fighting for. As the lines became more and more blurred because of culture, the world, and people just in general, because I'm going to get to this in a few minutes, it's because of the escalation of sin, all right? Which is where we're going. Those lines have become more blurred. We don't know what we're fighting for anymore. And also, our enemy is not as apparent. Back in the day, our enemy all wore uniforms and stood up. But think about this. Through Korea and through Vietnam, everything became more what? Guerrilla-type warfare. Different things typed happened. Hiding out. Not easily to see. And now, think about it today. The enemy we fight is not even clothed in the same attire, and in a lot of cases lives amongst us. Is that not like what is going on and what the Scripture tells us is going to happen as our world descends into chaos for a time being, because what we're going to talk about this morning has become more prevalent? Now, we're going to spend the next 5 weeks talking about sin. So these are all going to be high attendance Sunday, so you bring all of your friends and family and bring them, because I'm sure this is what everybody in the world wants to talk about. It's not. In fact, it's probably the least talked about thing right now in the church. We want to talk about how to make your life better, but the problem is we can't make your life better without dealing with what's going on in your life, which is sin. And why am I telling you that you have sin? Because I have sin. Because every single one of us has sins because of what we're about to read. Let me go dive straight into that. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but for the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it," or what? What does it say? Touch it. Don't get near it, or you will what? Die. All right? The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was the light of her eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband, who was standing idly by, and said, "Nothing." And I'm just kidding. It doesn't say that there. All right. And he ate. All right. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they said that they were naked. And then they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. There's so much here, okay? There's so much here. The first thing, there's some things that I've emboldened in my scripture. You might want to underline in your outline or in stuff like this in this passage. The first thing is that the serpent comes to the woman and he says, "Indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any of the tree of the garden." The first thing that Satan always wants to do is make a liar out of God. But he cannot do that. So he lies himself. And the way he does this is through manipulation, okay? So we're going to see this over the course of the next 4 to 5 weeks as we look at this. He manipulates our lives and for us in our thought mind to think the way that he wants us to think. He thinks all these different things, and what he does is he gets into our mind, which seeps into our heart, which then in turn goes out into action. And when it goes out into action, that's when everybody sees it. It's kind of like the Twitter account. You know what I'm saying? People think all these thoughts, but then in Twitter now they're able to, what, 140 characters or less now. They're actually expanding that a little bit. But in that little amount of time, they can say whatever they want to say right there in that moment. The problem is when they put that down, it's out there for everybody forever. And even if they delete it, it's always come out. So there's more evidence and it's quicker for us to be able to do this. All this stuff has been multiplied out, but it originally comes back to the point where Satan comes to us and he puts some seed of doubt in our mind about what God truly says and about who God truly is. Now look, he goes on through and then what Eve does, he makes this statement as Eve comes back and says, God said this. So Eve stands up right off the bat, and she says, God said, don't eat it, and don't even touch it. Don't get near it. Why do you think God allowed that tree to be in there? Yeah, to test us. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we in this world think we know what's good for us, and we think that we can define evil. But it's undefinable for us. There are certain things that it's very easy for us to look at and say, this is good or this is bad. There's a lot of stuff that's in there where we don't know whether it's good or whether it's bad. Is trans fat good or is trans fat bad? I'm just kidding. Y'all were supposed to laugh at that, but you didn't. Everybody's on one side or the other. They can't figure it out. Some say it's good for you. Some say it's bad for you. So there's some things that we just cannot figure out in our lives. But then there's some things that are very, very obvious to us. But Satan lives in the shadows. He looks to stay in the shadows, and he looks to manipulate us from that arena and then push us out into the light. And so you cannot invariably, in this day and age, go without a week where you find someone who is supposed to be standing up for truth and light who has some kind of moral, ethical, physical, mental, spiritual failure. And it is obvious why this is happening. It's happening to separate us from the Father. Now look, what happens here is he comes back again and he says this, you surely will not die. For the Lord God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This is the essence of all false faiths. All false faiths believe that one day you will be like God or in some cases, your own God. They think that you can ascend to this type of enlightenment. But you can't. And we're going to look at why you can't in just a second. You can't because Eve, what? Took of that fruit and she ate. Then look what it says right here. It says this. Before she ate, it says this. The tree was desirable to make one wise. Where did she get that from? She got that from the liar. He went and told her that she would then know what was good and evil and she'd be able to understand this herself. And she's like, well, I can become smarter than everybody else. We think we're smarter than everybody else. Because you know what? In a lot of cases, we hide our sin. And because we're good at hiding our sin, we think we're getting away with something. But we're not. God knows. God sees all things, created all things, and is involved in all things. He's there with us as followers of Christ while we're making these choices. And so as we follow through with these acts, we need to understand that what this does to us and how this affects not only us, but everyone else. Because it doesn't just happen to us, it actually moves through us. Okay? So the first thing I want you to see in this and glean from this is that this now, because of this act that takes place in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and we see this, as Eve took of the fruit, she ate it, and then like I said, her dunderhead husband was right next to her, and he allowed all this to happen without ever speaking up, without ever leading or guiding her. And then he did what? Followed right after her. So now this is our natural state. We live in a fallen state. This is our natural state. Romans 5:12 says this, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." So now we all die. There are consequences from our sin, for our sin. The first consequence for our sin is death. What is the first thing that is over, the greatest thing that is overcome through a relationship with Christ? What's overcome? What was the final thing that Jesus overcame? Death. So now what God had to do was to go retrace all of this for us and prepare for us a way so that we could have the relationship that He created for us to have. And as we're looking at in Revelations, what he's doing at the end is he's not only cleaning house, but he's restoring this back, a new heaven and a new earth. So that we can, he can fix all of this because of our sin. We have destroyed it all. And it is now the natural state which we live in. How many of you have ever looked at your child and said, "This is a good child"? No, then they grew up, didn't they? And you may have done that in the instant that that child came out and said, "This child's going to be a good child." And then within days, weeks, and months, depending on how much sleep you had, all right, you changed your opinion quickly, all right? And then you would say, "Satan is in this child. What is going on with this? Who gave us this?" You've all been there. You've all done it. Why? Because it really is, I know I'm being facetious, it's the reality of this. We want our children to do right. God wants us as His children to do right, but we just don't do it. It is our natural state. It is our fallen state. We need to realize that we inherited this. There is no such thing as a good man or a good woman in God's eyes. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." This picture right here that we have of sin is of missing the mark. It's best described as someone shooting an arrow at a target and missing that center bullseye, that mark in which we're trying to attempt to hit. We have all missed it. No one has ever stood up and day after day, moment after moment, year after year, season after season, hit the mark consistently, constantly, always in the center, except for the life of Christ, who was sent to redeem us from this. So for everyone else, all of us, we have missed this mark. We have fallen short. Romans 7:5 through 8 gives us a great picture of this. You should go read Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7. We're going to be a lot here, not only this week, but other times. But it puts this all into great perspective for us. "For while we are in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law." Now look, this is something we'll get more into. But the law wasn't given to save us. The law was actually given to condemn us. Because at the beginning, we didn't think that we thought that we could figure this out. You know, we built this spire to heaven. If you go through on in Genesis, and we were the Tower of Babel. We were all of the same knowledge and all of the same language. And we were like, we can figure this out. We can ascend ourselves. And we built this tower to where? Where were we trying to build that tower to? To heaven. Then it says that God came down and confused all of our languages and sent us in all different directions. Because we were once again trying to aspire to be like God. And we thought if we were all together on the same page, we have an internet now. That's supposed to bring us all together. But really, what does the internet do? It divides us. because we are not in any way, shape, form, or fashion all on the same page anymore. And the more we become individualistic about who we are, the less community there is. The less community there is, the less togetherness there is. The less togetherness there is, it's easier to conquer because we are all divided. So he is slowly but surely, sin is slowly but surely filling its course out and ripping us apart. So while we're in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in members of our body to bear fruit for death. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me a coveting of every kind. So Paul says here, when this was all given, it actually should convict us, but it truly convicted us. Instead of bringing out the conviction that is the sin that's in our lives, it convicted us. It sentenced us to the separation that we are. Is there anyone here that can sit here and say that in all aspects of every day of their life, they've never broken one of the Ten Commandments? Oh, well, that's good. We're all on the same page. We can start from the same place. But there are people out there right now that actually believe that they haven't done anything wrong. There are people out there that actually believe that they're good enough to earn their way into heaven. In fact, there are faiths out there right now that actually teach people that if they're just good enough, if they just do these right works, that they can make it there. It's all a lie. It's all a lie from the enemy. And he's been doing this since day one. The biggest way for us to overcome sin is to realize that we're in it. And until we realize we're in it, until we realize that it's the natural state, until we realize that mankind is not going to get better, until we realize that this world is not perfect and a paradise or a utopia can be created, and that it is a fallen place, that it is deceitful, it is going to destruct itself. I read a lot. My kids think I'm just not wanting to interact with them in the room, but I just like to keep up with what's going on. So they're sitting in the room. I'm on my iPad. I'm reading a bunch of stuff. They go, "What are you reading?" I go, "I'm reading about the Ring of Fire." Have you been reading about the Ring of Fire? Have y'all noticed in the last few weeks and months, all these volcanoes and places along the fault lines, they're becoming more and more active. Have you read about Yellowstone, about the gases that they think that are in Yellowstone, that if it actually erupts, that there's enough gas to actually wipe us all out, clear the earth? In the end times, stuff happens that wipes out what? A third of all those who are living. My goodness, right now, that's 2 to 2.5 billion people gone. It's working its way through. This is the natural state of the place in which we are born to. We're not to live without hope. We're to live with hope, understanding that this is where we live. That this is what's going on. We think we're going to be able to fix all this. We can't fix this. So our natural state produces in us and through us an unnatural life. We live in a synthetic state. Now look, they talk about this in the Old Testament. If you looked culturally at the nation of Israel, when the nation of Israel was born, God told them not to intermarry with other peoples. God told them he said to them to not what? Mix threads. Do you guys remember this? Have you looked at your tag on the back of your shirt right now? Is it 100% cotton? Is it 100% cotton? Then you're mixing threads. It's a synthetic garment. The picture here, I'm not telling you to go rip off your clothes right now and sit in potash in heaps and throw us all up. That's an act of repentance, by the way. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm telling you that we live in this world today where all this stuff is mixed up and jumbled. What was God trying to say to the people of Israel? That you are called out, that you are distinctive. The same thing he tells us in the New Testament. You are God's people. You are his chosen race, his chosen holy people. to go out and to live. You're not to interwork yourself and intermingle yourself with all this junk that is in the world that defiles you. In the Old Testament, it was told to them in this way. In the New Testament, it is told to us in this way. So we live an unnatural life that is produced by our natural state. God did not create us this way. He created us to live what? Forever. For there to be no death. For there to be no sin. For us to live in the garden and walk with Him in the day or during the evening. And to commune with Him. But we don't have this anymore because this is all broken. So what does it produce? It produces a synthetic life. A life where we think that having stuff, doing things, either through ownership or through actions, actually benefits us and humanity. The reality is our life, anything lived other than a life lived for Christ, does not bring the benefit that we think it brings. Because it is done in and through this broken world's system. That's hard for us to grasp and realize. So you're telling me a billionaire gives all of his money away, that that's not going to benefit society? Could it? For the moment, yeah. But $1 billion from a billionaire is not going to fix it all, does it? Is there any amount of money that can fix it? So in the whole understanding of that, I'm not telling them they can't give it and try to do something that benefits other people. What I'm saying is it doesn't fix the problem. But we look at it and think, hey, this is all good. This will get it right. This will correct that which is wrong. And it doesn't. So all this money gets sucked up. But does it, in the end, perpetuate anything that is any different than what's going on now? It doesn't. Because why? Because it's an unnatural life for us. It's a synthetic state. It's sin. It's a fallen world that we live in. In Genesis 1, 27 and 30, it says this. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God saw that all that He made, and behold, it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the sixth day. So up to this point, it's all what? It's all good. But after this, you need to understand, God doesn't say it's good anymore. Do you get that? Scripture doesn't say after this point, or give us a picture where God said, it's all good. Say, hey, you can go live like you want, do what you want to. It's all good. Hey, guess what? You can be whatever you want to be. Do whatever you want to do. It's all up to you. It's all good. We used to live next door to some folks. And their children would come over and interact with our children. And look, this is such a microcosm of the, because this was years ago. But no, so you're talking 15 to 20 years ago. Now, perpetuate this out 15 or 20 years. And they basically would come to us. Now, they weren't followers of Christ, and they would come and they would say, we're just going to let our kids do and be whatever their kids want to be. Hellions? That's okay. Undisciplined? That's okay. Tear up your stuff? That's okay. Not ours. Watch whatever they want. Our child went over to their house one time. And now look, this is my single-digit child. I mean, Dad Laney was probably like 8, maybe 9 years old. Goes over to watch a movie, comes back and goes, I'm not spending the night there. I said, why are you not spending the night? Because they were watching something we wouldn't watch here. They were allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. But our child, even at that age, knew that that wasn't the right thing to do. And came home from spending the night with the kids next door because she realized that. Now, think about this. We live in a culture today that we won't even allow. Parents are like, our child can identify with whatever our child wants to identify with. Are they a boy or are they a girl? Are they, what are they? Oh, they can be whatever they want to be. This all good. God's looking down and going, this ain't all good. This is not what I created this to be. This is not the right relationship. This has become a synthetic life that we perpetuate out, that we do whatever we want to do. We were made in the image of God, created by Him, for Him, and through Him. He tells us through Christ in Colossians chapter 1. So we have solely distorted this because of a sin state, and it's manifesting itself, and it is really coming unwound. Continue on in Romans chapter 7. Verses 14 and 15, and then verse 17 as well. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into the bondage of sin. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing that I hate. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. How many people say they believe in God? Do you realize that 90% of our culture in America still says that they believe in God? Yet on any given Sunday, probably somewhere around 30% of the folks who profess to be believers and actually follow God are in church. And then so you're taking 90% who say they believe in God, then you're taking less than half of that who actually will go to church. And then you're taking one third of that who's in church on any given Sunday. So 90% say that, but really we're probably down into the teens of actually people who are practicing it today. So he says this right here, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. So we're not doing it. So what good is believing in it if you're not doing it? We think that believing it is going to get us to heaven. Jesus said, even the demons believe. So the believing is not going to get it. It's faith that gets us there. It's where the believing moves to actual faith and trust in God. That's why we must surrender our life. That's why, as we learn in this later, we must confess our sins. That's why we have to feel not only the conviction of that, but the profession of our faith as we go out and as we live. So the doing that I want to do, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin that dwells in me. Now look, I will say this. We've taken this to the nth degree in our culture today. Nobody's responsible for anything. So what if I started saying, instead of it's how I grew up or the neighborhood that I grew up in or the culture in which I was born into, what if I just said, it's a sin? Do you think the world would like laugh at me if I went on Twitter today, which I'm not on Twitter, and I said, you know what, I'm just bad because it's the sin. It's just the sin. It is true. But we've so marginalized sin in our culture because it's all good. It's okay. So, in our culture, where marriage, which is a sanctity of God, made in the image, God made man, God made woman, put them together, put them in the garden, said to go be fruitful and multiply. And now in marriage, there's no longer a holiness to that because we don't need God in our marriage at all. So God's not in the marriage. And if God's not in the marriage, which could be of anything mixing and mingling, how they wish to mix and mingle. And then because some people don't even identify now as one sex or the other sex. So you could have all kinds of stuff going on. So, you know, then you've got this that's come together that's supposed to be this holy thing that God created for us. And now it's so extremely distorted. And then now, so much of it is broken in the church and outside the church. And then we can't understand why our families are in the places that they are today. Now look, that's just one proliferation of it. Let me get you in another one, okay? So look, I know this is difficult, but you know we have to identify what is and what is. I heard this morning from another preacher. I won't identify that preacher. I was listening this morning. I thought this was good. In 2015, so many hours were spent in watching pornography on the internet that it was twice the amount of time that humanity has been on the earth. Twice the amount of time as a people was spent watching pornography in 2015 as the total of all time that humanity's been on the earth, if you believe in God. Because that's thousands of years. So what are we doing? Where are we spending our time? What are we investing our lives in? It's in a synthetic state. It's in the exact thing that Paul says here. The stuff that I know that I should be doing, I'm not doing. The stuff that I shouldn't be doing, I am doing. And it's the sin. Now, people would think I'm an idiot to say that in public and culture, but that's what it is. It's the sin. And if we could actually be honest with ourselves, just like Paul's being right here, honest with us as followers of Christ, it's the sin that's in us. And we refuse to deal with it. And we dismiss it. We legitimize it. We say that that one's okay. That this one's permissible. That one's a bad one, but this one is not. I mean, even in culture, we pick them and demonize them. Lord knows, please don't smoke a cigarette. But have all the alcohol that you would like and desire. It'll all be good. Don't smoke a cigarette, but let's legalize marijuana. Look, it just doesn't make sense, does it? Yeah, to people it does. Now look, I'm going off cue here. This is not even on your outline. And I'm going to take a second and I'm going to look this up, all right? So, go with me to 2 Timothy. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right? And he says this in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn away their ears from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist to fulfill your ministry. Paul's telling Timothy, look, man, the day's quickly coming when nobody's going to tell you this stuff anymore. They're just going to gather around someone who's going to tell you what you want to hear. And when they tell you what you want to hear, that's called tickling their ears. It's not going to be founded in sound doctrine. You got to stay away from that. See, in the church today, this is no longer, such and such is no longer a sin. It's okay. God really didn't mean that when he said this, that this was an abomination. He didn't mean that. He's just fooling around. He's kidding. No, he's not. And when we perpetuate that from the pulpit, what a manifestation of the evil and of sin we are allowing to run rampant. When we no longer can stand up here and say the truth, it's a bad day for our faith. But this is the battle that we're in. And just as over the last 100 years, the art of war has changed from people all wearing the same uniforms and being able to tell who was the good guy and who was the bad guy. I've used this illustration before. You guys remember John Wayne? Do y'all remember John Wayne? John Wayne movies, you knew who was good and who was bad, didn't you? All right? Clint Eastwood. In those Clint Eastwood movies, Clint Eastwood was good, but was he really good? He wasn't, was he? He never was. That's what we've done. We've gone from John Wayne to Clint Eastwood. And now they're putting stuff out there where the guy trying to do the good is really, really just bad. But that's why we don't watch TV anymore. I'm not getting any of that stuff. Cut the cord. I'm buying a bunch of John Wayne movies and going home and having a great afternoon. relive the great old days. Look, the problem for us is that we can't go back to that and think that we're going to fix all that by bringing John Wayne back. The only way that this gets fixed is God. And I want to tell you something today. We might be fighting in our generation, in our time, an uphill battle. I really think we are. It's evident that we are. We're pushing the boulder uphill. And it may look like at any moment it's going to come back and squish us. But that doesn't mean that we can't, that we stop. It's never an excuse. And so just as the teams look like the lines have been blurred, and people are no longer fighting fair, the reality is that we're winning. Because this is all coming to an end. And God's going to fix it. And he's going to restore that. But this is what I leave you with today. Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this darkness, against this spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We cannot see our enemy right now, but he's constantly trying to destroy us. We cannot see our Creator right now. And we're in a battle amidst the fact that we now live in a fallen state and in a fallen world. And we're a fallen individual. But we are redeemed by a holy God. And we are victors. And we are overcomers. If we can live in the reality of the state in which we live in. If we can realize we got our own sin, we need to clean that up. Stop pointing fingers at everybody else in the pew that's next to you. And start looking at your own life. And then as you start to fix that, and you start to confess that, and you start to lay that down, and you start to get rid of it, then God is going to continue to work in and through you. And as he does that, then we are going to see him move in a mighty way. And until that point, until we come to the reality of that, we're just playing church in a hell world. So let's get busy about realizing where we're at. Let's get busy about understanding what this sin is. Not pointing out one individually, but looking at it for what it truly is as a whole. It's a condition. And it's infecting all of us. Get your shot. Get your shot of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for the fact that even through all this, in the midst of everything that this world has become today, and how sin has so infected our lives, and how so we have removed ourselves from truth and the reality of what is truth, and Father, how we've so backslidden, and how we've so all these different things, Lord, you still love us. You still want to use us. And still, knowing that you have a plan and knowing that we have a part in that, realize that some way, somehow, someday, this is all going to get fixed. Lord, I pray that you will use us and strengthen us. Make us whole by helping us to see our flaws. In our weakness, you are strong, creating us a clean heart. All these things, Father, we ask now in the precious presence in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing. The altar is open. I'll be over here to share with you, to speak with you, to pray for you, with you, whatever your needs might be. But let's stand together and close.